In a world full of noise and endless distractions, the hardest thing to find is clarity. Here, we uncover the ideas, tools, and stories that help you focus on what truly matters so that you can live and work with purpose. I'm Stuart Hislop, and this is The One Thing Guy. Stress. We just don't want stress. But what if the stress that you're trying so hard to eliminate is actually the very thing that you need to grow? You see, for most of us, we're actually living our life and stress is all around us. It lives both in our brain as well as in our body. And while it's completely natural, and here's something that I actually, when I was doing some research, it's actually essential for our survival. The biggest problem that comes into it is when we don't understand it. Or we mislabel that stress as something else. Or we just leave it unchecked and we let it grow and grow and grow. But one thing that you must remember is not all stress is bad. And it is actually meant to sharpen you, not break you. Now, I remember it was a good couple of years ago. I was put in a situation where I became a team leader and I had to do this first meeting. I had roughly about 60 individuals, brand new individuals in front of me. They're all real estate agents. They're all sitting inside this room. They're all excited that I've come to join and be their team leader. And I sat there. My mouth went dry. My stomach turned. The stress that went through my body, I actually started to feel ill. And I didn't know what to do. And then I had to go and stand in front of these people and actually just address them. And here's something that was actually amazing. It was that single incident that standing in front of these individuals, brain going absolutely blank, mouth totally dry, having no idea what to say. And I just started talking and they just started to listen to me. The stress that I was actually experiencing was the fear of being judged at that moment in time. It was a fear of the unknown. And if I had actually understood that before I'd gone in, I could have prepped, I could have planned, I could have almost relived that experience in my head before I stood in front of them, it actually would have made that experience so much better. So as much as that was a high level of stress for me, it actually turned out to be a positive experience that today I love it. I absolutely enjoy it. When I've got this experience to go and talk in front of people, it actually, because I understand it and I know exactly what that exhilaration is going to feel like afterwards, I step up and I say, let's go ahead and do it. And I know exactly what to do. So it was around that particular concept of stress. Now, I know there's many different types of stresses out there, but it was under that particular incident that I started to go, hey, this experience that I had, and I know that a number of you have experienced the same thing, you might be thinking, okay, so how do I overcome these type of situations of stress? I'm living in a world of stress. Well, I broke all this down and through the research, I actually got to learn a little bit more about it. That's what I love about these particular sessions is when I'm doing this research, I'm learning something and I'm going, I didn't know that, but now I do. So this is what I want to share with you today. And there's these five actionable steps. Now, each one of these little, well, they're not actually steps, they're tips. Each one of them is going to help you through this particular journey to overcome stress. We want to get rid of it. We actually want to turn that stress, and I think it's probably a good way to go. We want to make that stress your friend. We want to turn into something that you turn around and go, hey, I want that. That's what I want. I want that level of stress. Why? Because it's going to take me forward. Just like I experienced. So the very first thing that I have to do is I have to teach you the different types of stress. So this is the very first one of the tips that I want to share with you. You need to learn how to name this stress that you're actually experiencing. You need to identify, is it something that it's a positive challenge? Is it something that's an understimulation type of environment? Or is it something that is overloading you? You see, when you can actually identify it, that creates this awareness. And each one of these, you will then be able to say, okay, this is where it's sitting. Now I know how to handle it. So when I was doing the research, there were these three words and I'd actually never come across them, but you'd heard about them. You see, a positive challenge and excuse me if I get it wrong, is called eustress. Then understimulation is hypostress, and overload is hyperstress. So when I started to look at this and suddenly saw that there's these three different categories, it was like, hey, when you're looking at the stress that you're experiencing right now, we need to put it into one of these three buckets, because in each one of these particular buckets, we could actually say, right, now we know what to do to go forward. Just like when I stood in front of those people, if I knew that that was going to be a stress of a eustress, a positive challenge stress, I would have gone, okay, now I know what to do. I can prep, I can plan, and then I can go into it. And it's a positive stimulation that I would have gone through. So I want to go through each one of these so that you can actually understand. Now, the very first one is the one, and excuse me if I'm getting it wrong, is eustress. It's E-U, then stress, eustress. And this is actually a good stress. This is one that we experience most often, by the way. It's something that's not a negative stress. It's not distress, okay? The D-I stress. This is something that is actually, it's a positive one. It's actually one that actually arises from challenges that we perceive as these manageable things that we can do. And they're also, they're exciting. So one of the key things about these particular, call it stresses, is they're temporary. They only happen just before something happens. But the big thing is you actually feel like you're out of control and you just don't have the capability of actually doing it. But the big motivation here is you can turn that little bit of stress, that eustress, into something that is energy. You can put it into something positive. And it's that energy that actually comes up. So I was going through and saying, well, let's look at different scenarios. Well, the big one, and I remember getting married and was like, oh my gosh, what? And you know, you get this like stress. You see, that's eustress. It's a positive stress. When you have your first child, it's like, well, when this baby comes into the world, what am I going to do? Those are the positive stresses. Starting a new job, or you know, you're getting a promotion. Now you're going to stand up just like I in front of people, and you're going, wow, this is, now what am I going to do? Are people going to judge me? It can even be something where you want to learn something new. Think about learning a new language and you're standing in front of a tutor and they're busy going, hey, let's have a chat. And you're going, well, my French is, well, bonjour. And that's about as far as you go because you're feeling overwhelmed. It could even be that first date where you're meeting someone for the very first time. Those are positive stresses. And what you need to do is you need to identify them, because it's these stresses that you go, hey, wait a minute. Once I've done this activity, it's actually going to give me some form of personal growth. It's actually going to build this resilience inside of me. It's actually going to help me live this outside world and actually see them as these comfort zones. And they're healthy and they're extremely productive. So the very first stress, and this is one that you really need to do, is you need to have a look at it and say, hey, is it something that is the eustress? This is something that really is going to stretch your mind, your experiences. You're actually going to go into something where you're going to go, hey, I'm going to grow. And this is where big growth happens in your life. And as I said, this is the one that most of us experience almost on a daily basis. And we really need to understand it and go, hey, I want to embrace this. I want to grow. I want to go through this. It's almost putting yourself into an intentional discomfort for your positive growth. So that's the first one, which is the eustress out of it, okay? Or we can call it the positive challenge one that really doesn't feel well in the bottom of our stomach, but as soon as it happens, it feels absolutely awesome. The second one is the hypostress, okay? Now, hypostress is where you get understimulated. All right, so understimulated is something that actually happens to a lot of us. And it's something that happens not on a daily basis. It could happen maybe once a week or maybe every second week, but it's actually characterized by boredom and restlessness. You know, this is where, if you think about it, you're in a job, you're in a company, and everybody around you is just busy. But your job relies on people giving you tasks. They give you tasks and then you get excited and you go ahead and do it. but no one's giving you any tasks. You're actually starting to get into that point where the stress starts to rise because you're going, hey, I'm actually bored. I don't know what to do. And you start getting that restlessness. And this is something where we feel like time is the biggest problem. We're wasting time. We don't know what we're doing. We're getting a little bit of almost stress and anxiety coming into us because, well, there's nothing to do. And we start to get a little bit irritable. So this is one, as I said, this one happens probably once a week, maybe every second week or so forth. But it's something where when you can actually identify it and you actually go, hey, this is pretty cool. I know exactly what's happening. You can actually start to go forward. Now, a couple other little points, and I'm just having a look at my notes over here. It's areas where you feel dull, repetitive. You're doing something and it just becomes boring and mundane. It can actually create this level of hypostress with an O. It says hypostress. How do we overcome it? Okay, well, one of the big things that you can do to overcome this is, one, take control of your life. Don't wait for other people. You see, it's in this particular environment where you're allowing people to control you, or let me replace that word control, we're allowing other people to direct you. And when you allow other people to direct you, you're waiting on them. Or it could be something that you're doing something and it's just a repetitive motion you're doing over and over and over. You wake up in the morning going, oh, I can't believe it. I've got to do this again and again and again. So what do? We try and introduce something new. Take control of your life. So if nobody's giving you tasks, they're not giving you those directions, be proactive. Hey, what can I do? You see, this is what's going to push you into the eustress, where it's a positive challenge, something where you go, hey, I can go out and do this. Now, what's great about that is when you go and do that, people recognize and go, hey, you're not just a person that we need to give instructions to. You're actually self-sufficient. And it's actually going to create this new level of excitement inside of you. Now, if it's something that becomes a little bit repetitive, well, try something new as far as a different routine. Look at a different way of actually doing it. And one area that really, really helps individuals, especially when they're in a hypostress type of environment, start looking at that environment, seeing how you can change it. Maybe it's something where you wear a different cloth, or maybe you're sitting at a different side of the desk, or you just walk into the office in a different path and you talk to different people, so that repetition just starts to move out. Do different routines. Start a new hobby, in fact. And it could be outside, because this hobby could actually get your mind turning. And really what it does, it starts to re-engage your nervous system to say, hey, I'm actually worth something and I could do something because I'm in control of it. So that third little tip that I want to share, that's that hypostress. Okay, we want to try and change the pattern of, call it, the boredom that comes out. And then we come to the third stress, and that's the hyperstress with the ER at the end of it. And this is when we start to get overloaded. This is an extreme level of stress. This is where people are just pushing so much onto you, and it's beyond your coping limits. This leads to things like burnout, anxiety. You're actually feeling overwhelmed because you've got 10 files on your desk. You haven't even got through the first two, and another 3 files are coming on your desk, and someone else is saying, hey, I need those files right now. This can also come from excessive work deadlines, where you've actually got these tight deadlines, constant pressure on you. Now, hyperstress is not a great place to be in. And the reason for that is it actually starts to create, well, it's going to actually start to create symptoms of high level of anxiety, irritability, difficulty in actually just concentrating on what you're doing, memory issues. You're going to start getting physical tension in your neck, your back, sleep problems. And the big one that I share with so many of my clients is burnout. You're going to start getting to that burnout stage. And this can actually start to lead to, well, mental as well as physical health issues if you continue it for long periods of time. So you really need to be well aware of it. So how do we actually manage this one? This is probably the one that we all fear the most, because we're allowing people to give us all of these directives, being in control of our life. And really, it pushes us beyond the boundaries of what our human bodies can actually cater for. So what do we need to do in this particular situation? Well, the big thing here, the management around this, is setting boundaries. If someone's giving you 10 files, you can actually say to them, hey, by the way, I can only handle 8 files. We need to look at getting additional help into this environment. Many times, you actually find when people are putting load on you, they don't realize that you're overloaded. They just see you as efficient and that you're getting through it. But in the same breath, they're also seeing you as incompetent because you're not completing it. So they're going to start to put pressure on you. So the first one is set boundaries. Know what you can do, know what you can't do, and share that with the people around you. The second, and this is one that we use in the one thing, which is huge, it's prioritizing the tasks, having a look at those tasks, and actually creating what we refer to as a success list. So let me explain to you what a success list actually looks like. Well, you know and you understand a to-do list, all right? Not a ta-da, a to-do list. This is a list of all the activities that you need to go ahead and do. And you write all of those down. Then have a look at all those particular activities. And you ask yourself the question, what should I be doing and what could I be doing? All right, the coulds, just cross them out. Put them on a different page. The shoulds, those are the ones that you should be looking at. All right, now once you take all those shoulds, put them onto the success list. These are the items that you should be doing. Why? Because they're moving you closer to your goals. That's what's so key about this. So this is the area that you should be actually doing. And then you just put them into order of priority and you ask yourself this question. If I could only do one today, only one, which one should I do? And you'll be able to go through all of them and you'll find that there'll be one that's a little bit more important than another. And that's the one that you start with. And then you say to yourself, well, if I complete this and I earn the right to do a second, which will be second? And you start putting them into order of prioritize. So into priority. Now, once you've prioritized these tasks, it makes your life so easier. Why? Well, now you're in control. You're starting with one and moving to 2, 3, 4, 5. And as you start going through that, you're going to start to see how your stress levels will slowly start to go down because you're doing the tasks that you should be doing. And all those could, well, once you finish all your should do's, then you can jump onto those could do's. But what you're going to find, and this is a crazy thing, when you finish your should do's, many of those could do items actually go, well, that was irrelevant. I didn't need to do that. And they disappear. So that's the second, is prioritizing your tasks. The third management style in hypertension is ensuring you got relaxation time. To be able to sit down, take lunch, to be able to look at your life and say, I'm not going to push a 4 hour straight. I'm going to go and say, I'm going to work 45 minutes and I want to take a 5-10 minutes, step away from your desk, take a walk, go get yourself a glass of water, go to the bathroom if you have to, then come back and do another 45 minutes and take a break. When you do that little break, it actually helps to relax you. And you'll find when you come back, you're going to find that you're going to be going through this in such a quick manner. You'll be able to go through these tasks because you're going to be hyper-focused. So we're going to take that stress and we're going to replace it with focus, which is so, so important. And the last one to manage this hyper-stress is actually addressing any emotional conflicts. This is an area where it does become a little bit more difficult. You see, we have these emotional conflicts with our work colleagues, with our friends, with our family, and ultimately, we don't address them. What we do is we start to ingest them. We start to build up on them. We start to almost infest them inside of us. But we really need to start to address them. What is it that's creating that hyper-stress? What is it when you wake up in the morning, you can't stop thinking about it? When you go to bed, you can't sleep because you're thinking about it. When you're at work, you can't work because you're thinking about it. It's these type of emotional conflicts that you'll need to address. Now, whether it's addressing it with the person directly, so face-to-face, or you get a third party, somebody that can almost mediate it to help you through this particular journey. So those are the three stresses that I wanted to share with you. So the very first thing is learn to name these stresses. And then the next three were actually to try and educate you, to tell you what they are. So it's the eustress. Now the eustress, this is the positive challenges. The hypostress with an O under it, it's when you're understimulated, you're kind of bored and you just really need to do something or something's repetitive. And then the hyperstress, and it's the hyperstress when you're overloaded, high levels of tension that comes in. It's the hyperstress that actually starts to affect your mind, your body, your health, which is so, so important. So you need to be able to identify it so that you don't put it into the wrong category. And then once you can identify it, then you know exactly what to do to try and reduce those levels of stress. Now, the fifth and final tip in all of this is to start training your nervous system to actually put on stress and then de-stress, almost on demand. Okay, doing something that pushes your comfort zone and then it suddenly gives you high levels of excitement. And when you can actually get into this particular state, you'll actually go, hey, I'm in stress. Well, I know because I've trained my nervous system how to come out of stress, how I can de-stress. Or when I'm actually really bored, I know what to do to put myself into a little bit of stress that actually gives me this level of excitement. Now, you can also do things like there's a bit of breathing work when you are feeling, you know, the hyper stress. You can start to breathe in. I'm sure you've heard it. Take a deep breath. Center yourself. Humming. Funny enough, I didn't realize this, but when I make reference to when I stood in front of all these agents, I was actually starting to hum in my brain. I was actually thinking of a song and I was humming in my brain. I can't think of the song, but I know that I was actually doing all of that because what I wanted to do was close out that external environment. And by doing that, I actually stepped into this environment. And when I opened my eyes, even though my eyes were open but stopped humming, it was kind of like, oh, I'm here. Well, now I can carry on. It's pretty cool. Another one is movement. When we're sitting still and we're not moving, that stress can start to build up and build up. See, that's when the environment is actually creating and almost fueling that stress. Get up, start moving, start walking. Some people start tapping the desk. You've got to get that movement going so that you can actually start getting blood flow. It's that blood flow that's going to actually start to help. See, when you can start practicing the calming of your body and that's getting into like the, we call it the safe stress zone, because you can't just remove stress altogether. But when you can get to do that under real pressure and you can bring your nervous system all the way down where you feel calm, you're actually going to find that you're going to be able to get out of these environments. Now, this is not something that you can do one day and think, great, I've got it. This is something, unfortunately, you've got to do it on an ongoing basis. This is something that becomes a habit. When you can get into this particular habit and do it on an ongoing basis, you're actually going to find that you become more relaxed, more calm, and more excitable in your life. Now, through this, I always like to end these particular sessions with a memorable quote. And again, I never really, and I must remember this to get who the actual author is, but I see these quotes and I write them down, and there's always a lot of quotes, but this one quote really stood out for me. Stress is not the enemy. Unconscious stress is. So what we need to do is we need to master the message it's sending, and stress becomes the tool, not a threat. So let me say that again. Stress, it's not the enemy. Unconscious stress is. When you master the message it's sending and the stress becomes a tool, it's not a threat. I want you to think of that in your life, and I want you to go forward and learn how to remove that stress so that you can actually have that positive and exciting life by design that you want. You've been listening to The One Thing Guy. Remember, when you focus on what matters most, everything changes. See you next time.